This is Hash It Out with Jane, and I am your fantastic, gimp-tastic, mini hostess with a disability, Jane Hash. As I said in the intro, this podcast aims to promote independent thought, personal responsibility, and social consciousness. My friend Frank Kitchen, who will be joining me in a few minutes, is an excellent example of these ideas. He's a regular guy who is successfully using his creativity and mad networking skills to overcome the challenges of today's economy and lack of job opportunities. Let's listen to The Clash to set the mood.
Offered me the shop. Said I better take everything they got. Do you want to make tea at the BBC? Do you want to be? Do you really want to be a cop? Career opportunities are ones that never knock. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunities are ones that never knock.
Whew.
I hate all of my school's rules. They just think that I'm a yellow fool. Opportunities are ones that never knock. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunities are ones that never knock.
Oi.
Bus driver. Ambulance man. Ticket inspector. Career opportunities are ones that never knock. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunities are ones that never knock. Career opportunities are ones that never knock.
Oh no.
Frank Kitchen, welcome to Hash It Out with Jane.
Hey, Jane, how's it going?
It's going awesome. I've wanted to have you on the show for months, and I had this huge argument with myself because at first, I'm like, I can't have Frank on the show because he doesn't fit into my format, because you are the first guest on Hash It Out with Jane who does not have a certified disability.
All right. I get to do something for the first time. That's sweet.
Yes, you're my first. And then I thought, you know, isn't that kind of discrimination? You have this positive message to share. You inspire people through a living, but I'm not going to have you on the show because you're not a gimp? What the hell is that?
Well, that's not your style. You like to, you know, rock the boat, so you like to do things a little differently, so there's no problem with me coming on your show. You get to do things the way you want to.
Exactly. So you inspired me to change the format and go solo and take my podcast rogue.
Uh-oh, there we go. So you get to go do whatever you want, so now it's just hashing it out with everything.
Yes. So you wrote a book, and I read it the other day. It was very easy to read. It was like having a conversation with you, kind of, because you leave room in each chapter kind of for the reader to respond and add their two cents.
Yeah, the book, that's how I wanted to write it out, was it's similar to like the way I do my blogs, but I wanted the book to reflect me. So it's that point of I wanted to talk to the reader, or talk with the reader, kind of like a conversation, and, you know, just to be me. And it's kind of like your show. Everybody told me I shouldn't write the book that way, but I said, you know what, this is how I want to do it, and I've gotten a lot of positive responses from it, just like you.
Yeah, it's great. Tell us about what made you decide to kind of turn your blog into a book, and are you continuing with your blog? Like, the book isn't the end, right?
Right, no, you know, I do the public speaking and going around speaking, doing the comedy, and people always said, you know, when are you going to write a book? And just like it says in the book, I never thought I would write a book because I hated writing term papers. You know, a 5-page paper is hard enough. How am I going to go write a, you know, book? But I looked up one day and realized I started blogging when my brother, sister, and mom moved away, and I wrote it just to kind of let them see what was going on in my life. And I realized people started to read the blog and enjoy it. So I started to go back through the blogs and realized it was a good starting point for the book. So I took parts of the blog and put those in the book, but then started writing more of the book just like my blog, which is, you know, it's just fresh from my mind. That's why it's called Fresh from the Kitchen. And, you know, it kind of had the attitude you have. I really don't necessarily care about what people say, if they like it or don't like it. I'm just giving my opinion on what I see in life. And I find out that a lot of people actually like what I wrote. So, no, it's not the stopping of my blog. The blog is still going. I just hit blog entry number 700 the other day. So it's been going for 6 years now, so it's still going.
And your life is going to change dramatically in, I don't know, 7-8 months-ish. Is that going to inspire another volume of your book?
Yeah, I've got some startings for a book. I'm thinking we're going to call it Fresh from the Kitchen Leftovers.
Nice.
there's some stuff I can go right there, but actually right now you talk about our change. We do have a little one coming here at the end of January.
Congratulations.
And excited about that one. And the thing I'm actually working on right now is a little kid's book. So the idea is like to have a little kid's book ready by the time our little one is born. I can like, that can be like, you know, one of the first gifts. It's just a little inspirational book for the kids. So I guess you can call it Story Time with Frank, but gonna have some fun with it.
That's a great idea. So aside of, you know, writing your book, you do motivational speaking with an organization, which I believe you founded?
Yeah, me and my friend, I have to get him on here. His name is Roger. We are known as the Bad Bad Apples. So it's right down the line with you. You like these funny names. But we tell people, we feel that everybody, no matter who you are in life, is just like an apple. You've got value and impact. So if we treat everybody as if they're valuable, they're going to impact our life in a positive way. So we said everybody's like an apple. In order for those apples to grow, they have to be put in the right environment, and those apples have to be bad. So we tell everybody you need to have belief, action, determination. You got to believe in something like your radio show. You got to take actions to make sure it's going. Or we say you always have to build and develop. So you and I have been friends for a long time, and we say you should always just be somewhere where you're always building and developing not only yourself but your relationships or even the community that you're part of. So we say you got to be a bad apple, and you have to go out and do bad things.
So what kinds of groups of people do you talk to when you're being a bad, bad apple?
It is funny. We thought it was just going to be for colleges, but now we've spoken to, like, elementaries and middle schools, and we've actually spoken for librarians. We've spoken for unions. So we pretty much will run our mouth for anybody. So I laugh. I just got off the phone with my mom, and she used to tell me, you know, stop talking so much, but now she and my wife say, please keep talking because I get paid for it.
I think everybody should find a way to make money by just being themselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking about being themselves, I have to send some to you. Kelly's making jams now. I'm going to tell everybody right now, my wife has this business. It's called Lefties Do It Right because she and her friends are all left-handed, and they make jams, salsas, and now they think they're going to be ketchup and mustard. So if anybody wants it, I'm going to do a free plug right now. They need to contact me at frank@badbadapples.com and buy my wife's super jams.
Awesome. And I'm always, you know, putting my guests' information on my blog as well. So if they want to book you for a speaking engagement, well, I'm sure everybody's going to want to buy your book after, you know, hearing our interview.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be sure to link your website to mine.
So we have to give you a commission, right?
Right, right. I get like 65%.
65%? Oh, I thought the going rate was 70.
So what kind of gigs do you have, you know, booked now?
Booked now. Next week, I'm going to be doing a speech, actually trying to help raise money for Special Olympics. There's a big event out here in Arizona. It's called the Breakfast for Champions, and it's their big annual fundraiser. So last year, I was one of the keynote speakers. And I went out and asked people for money, and I found out the other day, I guess, raised $80,000 last year just by me saying, give your money. So I've got that coming up. Some point here in August, I'm going to do some stand-up comedy again. So I've got a little bit of that. And then we've got a couple of big state conferences coming up for the student leadership groups called DECA and FCCLA. So keeping busy on that end.
So now, okay, some people are going to think, well, you know, he's not a gimp, and he's trying to inspire us and stuff. But you don't have to have a disability to have challenges and less than ideal circumstances in life. You know, it doesn't matter who or what you are. Shit happens.
Oh, it does. And we've all gone through it, especially the way the economy and things are. And, you know, you and I have talked, and we all go through our tough times. And, you know, I work with the groups, like I told you, Special Olympics are best buddies. But we said, you know what, everybody's got some form of, quote, disability. Because if you look up the word disability, it just means that not having the ability to do something well. So we all have something, and, you know, my things for a while were just finding work and finding a way to do something that gets paid. So that was my, quote, disability, and I had to go find some people to help me out.
Tell us how you got involved with Best Buddies, because I had not heard of that organization until you brought it to my attention, and You've sort of been on the show before.
Yeah,
just giving Lewis approach to my former guest, Dakota Johns. How did you get hooked up with that gig?
Okay, well, you know, I was on your show a few months ago with my buddy Dakota Johns, and Dakota has Down syndrome. Now, I met Dakota, and he was in a program through Best Buddies, the international foundation. They actually work with mostly high school and college kids. And the idea is anybody who's got intellectual and developmental disabilities, they need a buddy. They need somebody to buddy up with. And if you've got a strong relationship, you'll be successful in life. So Dakota became my buddy, and I started to volunteer. And I enjoyed it so much, I ended up becoming a member of the board of directors. So now when they have conferences, any type of events, fundraisers, I'm a part of it. And it gives me a chance to, I don't know, I've always liked the underdogs because I always felt like I was one. And, you know, you and I work together. We've been in those underdog situations. It's fun to see the underdogs achieve something. So it's something to go work at Best Buddies because you go into this room and you've got a group of people who the world says has a disability and they can't do anything. But then you start to realize I've got people in that group where they're really good at the computer. They're outgoing. They're great speakers. They know how to, you know, do fundraisers. You know, they've taught me several things on how to use technology. I've got one young lady, her name is Lindsay. I'm going to get her to listen to this. I swear she should be my marketing person. She's on Facebook all the time advertising where I'm speaking. And I told people, you start to realize with Best Buddies, they say focus on people's abilities, not the, you know, their disabilities. And when you really get a chance to know the people, you walk in the room, people are hugging you, high-fiving, asking how you're doing. People ask me how my life is going. And you realize it's just quality people who really, you know, care about you. And if you can get past the physical outside, you realize there's some great people on the inside.
You've had a few pretty interesting and creative jobs since I've known you.
I know which one you're going for. Did you read the book?
Yes. I wasn't even going to mention the underwear thing, but, you know.
See, now it came up.
That had to be a moment you will never forget.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me. You know, I'm not the biggest guy in the world. I think chicken legs are something that normally used to get called for me, but no, I think just like a lot of people, just like yourself, is I'm one of those people where I just wrote a list of said, you know, here's all the stuff I want to do in life before, you know, quote, I kick the bucket. And, you know, it may not be what other people want to go and do, but I want to have that list of saying, hey, you know, no regrets. I went out and did it all. So, as you know, did a little part-time work working as a model there, and, you know, one of my unique jobs that I've had. And the one night sounds kind of funny. You know, the guy was a model, and he hurt his back. And they go, Frank, we need you to fill in. So I was like, okay. And it went from being just like a point of,
wearing really tight jeans and a shirt to, I don't know how, you know, digress down into just wearing underwear. I can tell people now that, you know, I had my moment as an underwear model.
That's great.
So, you know, people talk about tough times, you have to reflect back on something that was tough. I'm like, well, if I can wear my underwear, being as brawny as I am in front of a couple hundred people.
Now, would you advise everybody to go that route to build confidence, to strut around in public in their underwear?
No, I think if you really want to, you know, make it through tough times, whatever, you need to go and hash it out with Jane. And if you can make it through that one, it'll give you the confidence to do anything in your life.
Now, you were an advisor at a community college when we met.
Yes.
And sometime after that, you were a zookeeper of sorts. Were there any parallels between those two jobs?
Yeah, there actually are. You know, you got a lot of people you want to put behind bars or cages. You know, they never listen to you. And, yeah, no, I work out here. I moved out of Ohio to get away from that cold snow. I still don't know how you deal with it.
I can't wait to
and,
get away.
You know, I had to go chasing after love and moved out here to be with my wife and also to get away from that snow because, you know, if it's you sneeze in Ohio in October or December, it snows.
Uh-huh.
And when I got out here, just like you said about tough times, was looking for work and needed something to do to bring, you know, a little bit of money in to help try to pay the bills. So the zoo was hiring and needed somebody to kind of go out there and do talks and presentations at the zoo and keep people from going home with the animals. Like you said, it was pretty much just like working at the college. The idea was just to make sure people had a good time without burning the place down.
Well, yeah, that was potentially an issue.
Right.
Having the students.
I remember your friends. You know, there's something about, you know, fire and hitting people with sticks.
Good times, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, we learned a lot from each other. And just like you said, back to the school piece, even working at the zoo, I learned a lot working at the zoo, and people learned a lot from me. Like you said, back at the college, I've told several people about you. Just there's things that, you know, I learned from you, like even that point when you did your whole wheelchair obstacle course. And just explaining to people about the difficulties as far as trying to get around a building in your wheelchair. People don't leave, push the chairs in, or, you know, you can't get on the elevator, or just somebody says, hey, do you want to run downstairs right now? And you look at them going, I can't run.
You know, some people get offended when people make comments like that, but I find it very flattering that people forget I can't walk all the time.
Well, remember the story with the Doc Martens when the one girl told you, she's like, hey, Jane, you can get, you know, a lifetime warranty in your Doc Martens if the soles ever wear down?
I wish I had a documentarian back then.
Yeah, so that was some fun ones there. But like you said, you know, when you become friends, it doesn't matter. You can talk openly. So I could tell people, like, you know what? I've known Jane since she was a little girl.
I'm still little.
Yeah, there it goes. So see, I can talk openly like that. We don't have to be politically correct. We just have to be, you know, friends and talk openly.
Right, right. I, you know, after meeting Dakota, I have become slightly more politically correct. Mm-hmm. Slightly.
Slightly.
Because, you know, offending people, you know, that happens. People offend each other all the time. But I don't ever want to offend someone maliciously or in a way that I know will hurt their feelings, you know?
Oh, exactly. And it's like you said, you have to watch what you say or, you know, how you say it and who you say things around, but there also gets to a point where you can take it, you know, too extreme. You know, I'll get people and say, Frank, do I call you black or do I call you African-American? Just call me Frank. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like I'm Frank, you know, and I'm different than other, you know, everybody else. You're Jane. You're different than everybody else. So you're Jane. I'm Frank. And let's just go from there and find out who I am. Don't try to just when I walk in the door, it's like, is he tall? Is he bald? Is he black? Is he, you know, what is he? It's like, I'm Frank.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned a little bit ago how when you moved, you had a hard time finding employment at first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people in that situation right now. If you could share some words of wisdom or inspiration to help those that are feel like they're stuck in that situation right now, what would you say?
What I'd say is I tell people, I think, you know, in this country for a while, we just got brainwashed that, you know, hey, you've got to go out and find a job. And I tell people, when this country started, people weren't jumping on the boat saying, I'm going over here looking for a job. People are like, I'm going for opportunity. I'm going to go create something. So, like, you created your radio show. My wife right now is trying to create a canning and drying business where she makes her jams. I've worked on a business where now I get to write and use my talents. So I tell people, it's like, yeah, we want to go out there and work and, you know, be able to live the lives we want to. But, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily always be a job, because many times, hate to say it, these jobs, they don't really care about you. They care about, you know, bottom line. So you want to go find people you can work with. And I tell people, if you ever go somewhere you feel like you're working for someone, then you're in the wrong spot. So for me, you know, you said you read that part in the book. I told people that point, now hiring just not you. I said, you know what? I was like, I'm going to hire myself. And it's fun to go ahead and figure out, okay, well, what can I do, as you said, to go make money versus trying to wait in lines or just constantly send out, you know, emails and resumes over and over again, because it just gets old. It gets, you know, mundane. It just gets tiring, or it just beats you up, where all of a sudden you can come home one day. And for me, you know, you said you read my book, but I can write the book and then all of a sudden someone buys it and they write me back and say thank you. And like, wow, it's like all that was me using one of my skills or abilities, where sometimes these jobs, they don't let you do that. And, you know, I'm being politically correct right now, because I could tell you about some of these, you know, companies. I told people, you know, I even applied for McDonald's, and I guess I was too happy to sell a Happy Meal. But, you know, people want to work, and you think that they would take dedicated people to come work for them, but, you know, people don't do it, and you just get tired of it. So, you know, my thing is, when I hear these politicians and everybody saying, oh, we've created jobs, I'm like, yeah, it's like you create jobs that people can't even live on. It's like, how about you come down here and, you know, work and see what we're doing?
Exactly. And I like how in your book, a lot of the guidance and the wisdom you share are things that we learned when we were, you know, in student government, student activities, things that you advisors taught us. And I think a lot of us who were students at that time still implement that into our lives.
Oh, yeah, I tell people, some of my best friends or the friends I'm still closest with today are either people like yourself, like former students who I advised, or people when I was in college who I went with and we got involved with, like, you know, student activities, the clubs and organizations. And it's just like we said about the job piece and we said about the underdogs. We came in, we had no budget, we had no people, but we wanted to throw a party and we figured out a way to go and do it. Well, life is our party, so are we just going to stand on the side or are we going to go create the best party possible? Even if, you know, Jane Hash tones it down.
Well, you know. And I think it's great that a lot of the programs and projects we started, what, 15 years ago, they are carrying it on.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to go back to the college there and realize, like they said, the Halloween party. That's still going on all these years later. You know, who can imagine there's a Halloween party now? It goes from 6 o'clock to midnight and the whole community comes out and they have several thousand people show up to have a good time for Halloween.
I mean, they have no idea that, like, the first one we threw, we had a bunch of cardboard, duct tape, and a DJ.
Right, and 5 people.
Yeah. But it was so fun that the word spread.
Right, and that's what, you know, I was talking to my wife about the other day. She goes, hey, you know what, I'm in a better spot in life because she's choosing to pick her own things now and kind of, like, make her schedule and make, you know, her thing and work with people who care about her versus some of these jobs and places don't care about you. And I've told her about what happened in student life. She goes, you know what? That's one of those just great environments where people truly, you know, believed in each other and helped each other out. You know, we weren't judgmental of each other. We picked on each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we all had the same goal. And that's that piece I said earlier was the value and impact. If you treat the people you're around as if they're valuable, you're going to have a, you know, powerful impact on your community or on the people that you're with. But we're just not taught that type of thing anymore. And, you know, you said with the book and the speaking, that's pretty much what me and my friends go out and do. We're like, you know what? We're going to kind of change it one person at a time and let them know there's still, you know, good people out there. You can still go out there and do whatever you want. Even if it's going to be a little crazy and off the wall because, you know, there's some people who laugh at us like, well, you guys dance and you sing and you make fun of stuff. That's not how speakers are supposed to be. It's like, well, that may not be how they're supposed to be, but guess what? We're filling rooms.
Exactly. And it gets the job done.
Yeah. And that's all that matters if you're getting the job done. You know, like I said, we keep talking about your radio show. You don't need a fancy studio or anything like that, but you're getting the job done. People are following you. You had, like, the whole little piece of you had to kind of go out on your own. Did you let that stop you? No.
Nope.
You know, I don't know if your listeners know. You know, most people don't know. You weren't supposed to still be here with us.
Exactly. And now it's almost 38 years.
Exactly. and you're still having yourself a good time. You know, you're all tattooed up and got like another hair color. And
awesome. Thank you for joining me, Frank. We've been looking at this for a long time and finally got it coordinated.
We are hard to catch up with, aren't we? I can't blame it on you.
Totally. I still have not gotten my new phone activated yet because I'm afraid of it.
Right. I'm going to let your listeners know right now. What's this sound? Beep, 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 beep. That's the text message coming through on your phone when Frank wants to be on your radio show.
And I thought it was aliens trying to contact me, and I hid under my bed for no reason.
I was trying to hash it out by sending Morse code to you, but that didn't work. I couldn't get on your show.
I will catch up with technology. I will.
You will. I don't know how you put this show together. I know you're like your own sound person. I'm like, I know you know technology.
I do it all myself. I have figured it out on my own. I can't say that I understand it all well enough to teach anybody else, but right. I do manage to put the show together.
There you go. Well, then I'm going to make sure, since you put the show together, I'm going to go put it up on all my sites and everything and make sure I plug your show, but I'm only going to do it if you let me plug my stuff right now.
Awesome. Go ahead.
All right. So if people want to check out what me and my friends do, you can go to badbadapples.com. That's two bads, not one. Badbadapples.com. Or if that's too tough, just go to frankkitchen.com. Yes, it's spelled just like the room in your house. I'm that famous. You named a room after me. You go to frankkitchen.com. You can find out about my stories with Jane. I'm going to put one up on the blog about a crazy Jane story.
Okay.
And you can find out more information about the book also.
Is there a picture of you in your underwear on there?
No, that one is saved for close friends.
Okay.
There is video, though.
I'd be sure to surf the net.
When I make lots of money, then maybe the video will appear.
Awesome, Frank. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you, Jane.
All right. Bye-bye. Now, go to my blog and buy a copy of Frank Kitchen's book, Fresh from the Kitchen, and I'll be back in 2 weeks to hash it out with you. Here is the ghost of corporate future.
Out of his apartment. It is raining, he's got no umbrella. He starts running beneath the awnings, trying to save his suit. Trying to save his suit. Trying to dry and to dry and to dry, but no good. When he gets to the crowded subway platform, he takes off both of his shoes. He steps right into somebody's fat loogie, and everyone who sees him says ew. Everyone who sees him says ew. But he doesn't care, 'cause last night he got a visit from the ghost of corporate future. The ghost said, take off both your shoes, whatever chances you get, especially when they're wet. He also said, imagine you go away on a business trip one day. When you come back home, your children have grown and you never made your wife moan. Your children have grown and you never made your wife moan. And people make you nervous, you think the world is ending. And everybody's features have somehow started blending. And everything is plastic and everyone's sarcastic. And all your food is frozen, it needs to be defrosted. You think the world was ending, you think the world was ending. You think the world was ending right now. The world was ending, you think the world was ending, you think the world was ending right now. Well, maybe you should just drink a lot less coffee and never ever watch the 10 o'clock news. Maybe you should kiss someone nice or lick a rock or both. Maybe you should cut your own hair, 'cause that can be so funny. It doesn't cost any money and it always grows back. Even after you're dead. And people are just people, they shouldn't make you nervous. The world is everlasting, it's coming and it's going. If you don't toss your plastic, the streets won't be so plastic. And if you kiss somebody, then both of you'll get practice. The world is everlasting, put dirt balls in your pocket. Put dirt balls in your pocket and take off both your shoes. 'Cause people are just people, people are just people. People are just people like you. People coming and it's going. It's coming and it's going.
Thanks for listening to Hash It Out with Jane. I'd love to hear your thoughts regarding this episode. Feel free to drop me a line at hashitoutwithjane@gmail.com. And be sure to visit my blog, which is located at thegimpavenger.blogspot.com.